The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
What's coming up on today's experience? It's Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but there's a time to laugh. The review of the goofy news which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use, probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk Jesus with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. This question right here. Do we speak in fear or do we speak in faith? Ooh. Do we speak in fear or do we speak in faith? If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. That's just sad. We want you instead to give us a call. Reach out to us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob. Let me explain that to you right now. This is the feeling. Ready? It's like having a peaceful day and evening with no drama.
Aww.
No drama.
Thank you, David. I thought you were about to say heading into the weekend.
Nope, that'll be next. Here's the thing.
I spoiled it.
Yeah, that's all right. But here's the thing. The no drama was really elongated. It's low. Drama. Okay, you can call us. You're welcome to do that live during the show. Somebody already is calling. Let's just keep this clear. It's not very complex. You have the opportunity to share praise reports. You have the opportunity to have prayer requests. We can petition with you alongside of you. You have this opportunity to share a comment or an opinion, a thought or a question, maybe something the Lord's taught you, directed you in, helped you in. Fantastic, okay? We're not really into the kvetch theory. Most of us have had a lot of kvetching taking place all around us. We don't stand against people that need to kind of vent their frustration in some of the things that are going on around us. We get it. But just in this little time, the short little segment every day, we're looking just to encourage one another, lift one another up, bless one another, strengthen one another. So before we get to the caller, I do want to make sure you understand different ways to get in touch with us. You can call us. You can text us. That's 214-210-8483. 214-210-8483. Non-professional voice coming now.
214-210-8483.
Thank you very much. Additionally, by the way, you can send us an email. We love that. That's cool. Send us an email, david@hemustincrease.org. David, the full name David, @hemustincrease.org. Do that for any kind of prayer request, praise report, or anything else that's going on. In the meantime, we have somebody on the phone. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. Good afternoon, Sergio.
Hey, Sergio. How are you, my dear brother?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Got things that we're praying for all around the world and all around our own family as well. But feeling like the Lord's return is getting closer and closer, and I'm getting more and more excited.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Anytime now, right?
Yeah, you would want it to be sooner than later, to be quite honest with
you. Absolutely. I hope it's before the end of this show. That's all.
Well, that's as always, David. That's a great segue. That's the reason why I'm calling you. I mean, I listen to you. I try to listen to you every day. Everyone is in my prayers, but man, David, I we've touched on this subject before. It's the in between the ears thing, right?
Yep.
It's nothing to do with financial or health or anything like that. It's just the in between the ears. How do you combat that? I mean, what do you do to strengthen to be better at that? I'm just having just a hard time dealing with that, and I'll hang up and listen like I always do, but. But if you could please guide me and strengthen me with something like that, I'd appreciate it. Have a great weekend, and thank you for all you do.
All right. Thank you, brother. God bless you. All right.
Likewise.
So Sergio brings up what I personally think is the biggest war that takes place. And this is me. This is my approach to it. You know, I can easily base that on 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, which talks about the fact that the enemy tries to create within our own minds fortresses, okay? And those fortresses are like strongholds. And I'll give you a great example. It's really a great understanding of it. So if the enemy drops a lie into your mind and it's unattended, listen to what I'm saying. If he drops a lie into your mind and it's unattended, then he builds upon it and builds upon it and builds upon it. And if it's not eradicated, it becomes its own little bunker. And then from its own little bunker, its own little house. And from its own little house to a fortress. That's kind of the process the enemy uses. Plus, you have a lot of stuff that's going on in the air, which it's almost impossible to miss, that there's different thoughts, different processes, different suggestions coming on a regular basis. So the real challenge for the Christian is we've already been told by the Lord we can bring every thought into an obedience, but that's very difficult to do. So there has to be other things that can also help us. It's not impossible to bring every thought to captive obedience. But the question is, what else can you do while you're learning to take every thought to obedience? So what does that mean when you, first of all, take every thought to obedience? That means that when a thought comes in, okay, between the left and right ear, you need to understand that not every one of those thoughts is simply your own. I know people say, no, the devil can't do that. Yes, he can. It's ridiculous. In fact, 10 passages make it very clear that the enemy plants things in people's minds and hearts on a regular basis. So don't say that. But what you need to be aware of is anything that comes between your left and right ear that is contrary to the word of God needs to be flagged. I mean, that's the nicest way to say it. If it comes in and it's riding on a river and it almost seems like it's okie dokie, but then it presents itself as contrary to the truth, then you've got to do something with it, because something contrary to the truth is a lie. So that's where you have to deal with that from a discipline, a thought discipline point of view. But there are other tactics that God has enabled us to use that will also help us while we're learning that process. One of those tactics is to keep the Word of God at the forefront of your mind, which is why scriptural memorization is a big deal. Not that you're going to memorize the whole Bible, although some people have that type of memory, and that's fantastic. I'm not one of them, but some of those people can do that. But every once in a while, you should try this tactic as well. pick a verse for the day. And when things are in the lull or things are difficult, and I suggest this to people, and it's not my suggestion, it's other people also suggesting it, you know, maybe write it out on a 3x5 card and put it in your car or with you just for that day. And just have a little bit of repetition on that. That in the Old Testament, they would call that davening. And davening has to do with meditating. And the Bible says that when we meditate on the Word of God, we bring ourselves into a place of success. So having that be a part of your mental appetite is a huge deal. That's number two, let's say, out of one, discipline on the thoughts, make sure it's appropriate to the word. Number two, have a meditation on the Word of God. Number three, have more praise. Oh, no, you guys are, this is huge. Ready? Huge. The more praise you have in your heart and mind, the less room there is for the enemy to drop stuff. That's just the reality check. The more you are thankful and praising and singing unto the Lord, the less space the enemy wants to be even around you. Number three is offering that praise. And I'll give Aunt Deb a real prop here. She said, fact check your thoughts with the word. Great, great sentence. Great sentence. Fact check it. Make sure it's aligning with the word. Number two, do memorization. Number three, do sing praises. Be aware that that praise fills up your heart and mind and gives you that space. Number four, there's a number four, Dave? Well, of course there's a number. You've got number four, and that has a lot to do with being in prayer. Not just praise, but in prayer, in that communication. When you're in communication with God, you are cutting out all of the eccentric words and thoughts and concepts of the world. So in a different sense, when you're praying in communion with the Lord, you're breaking that down. You're breaking it down. Of course, number five would be the word itself, having that as a part of your mind and a part of your thinking. But here's another one I want to drop in on you that's really interesting. We'll call this number six. Number six is the scripture tells us in 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. God has given you power, love, and a sound mind. Sound mind is saz friend in the Greek. It means safe thinking. And you need to tap into the sound mind that God has given you. So you've got the Spirit of the Lord has poured upon you a safe thought process. And you got to say, Lord, help me tap into my safe thinking. You got to be a person of the word, of course. You have to have the word, and you have to have the word permeating through you. You have to have prayer going on a regular basis. There's just zero question. You have to have praise because it fills the air. You have to have this mindset that you understand that memorization is powerful because it allows the word to daven, to exist, to coexist with you. And you need to be aware that the enemy is trying to drop thoughts in there, and you need to challenge that, number one, with the actual truth of God. Actually, fact-checking is a great way for Aunt Deb to say that, and that's a great way to understand it. Those are six tools, right? If you're like, I only caught three of those, Dave, that's why we have podcasts. There are six tools that you can use, right? You fact-check, right? You memorize, you praise, you pray, you have the word, and you remember or stay in touch with or stay connected to, God has given you a sound mind. That is, by the way, where you start. What happens is you grow in the Lord, that is that the Lord takes you into these whole other things. And I'll just share this because it's just personal, so I'll just, okay. All right. So sometimes I'll be doing my studying, right? I do study. And so I'll do my reading. And there's always something when I'm reading. It just happens every single day. There's always something there where I go, what's that? It's like, it just catches me off guard just a little. So what I do is I have a little piece of paper by me when I'm doing my reading, and I jot down that verse. And the jot down is for me to go back to it after I'm done with my devotional reading so I can see, what was that? What was that? I don't think I caught that before. I need to check that out. It happens every time. Then what you do is you go through and you study, and you go through 10 different things or 20 different, like it could be this. You listen to commentaries. You don't realize that, but an hour later, you've just been an extra hour in the Word of God just checking something out that you were like, what is that? I got to see what that means. What do other people think that means? How does that apply? Those are the types of things. Yeah, you could say listening to a show like this, probably not terrible for the mindset, but it's nothing like the six that I gave. Nothing. Zero. Okay. Those six that I gave you, that's the starting point. And then you build upon it from there. So I want to say to Sergio, brilliant question. I still think you should have a book. I know you're going to be in ministry, whether you think so or not. That doesn't matter. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is it is a war. And if you take so much of your brain time and you allow it to be fed from the television or from the internet, you're feeding yourself the rubbish. It's like, look, I'm going to be honest, okay? I like fudgicles. Okay, let me just say this real quickly. I texted Noelle voice recognition today because her and I have been sharing fudgicles. We're just in this little place. I mean, you know, after a while, you do these little weird things together, right? So I did a voice recognition, and I texted her, and I said, don't forget fudgicles. Do you know what my voice recognition said? I said, don't forget vegetables. Just like the world. Just like the world. I know people are like, well, you should have that. It's like, listen, you're not getting it. It's like all the stuff that you see, hear, say, do, and all that stuff, that's part of what you are. It's part of what you exist. Now, I can't just eat fudgicles or I'll be a fudgicle. Well, you can't just listen to social media and news and television and stuff, or you'll just be all that garbage. Protect your mind like you protect your body. Okay? It's not even you are what you eat. You're much more what you think. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So everything you're thinking, if it's all connected to the worldly stuff, guess what? That makes the war in the mind that much harder. You get that? Okay. Brilliant question, Sergio. We got to write a book. I've got all your questions on podcast. We need to figure out how to do that for you. Let's go into our first trivia question. By the way, that's just off the top of my head, so just, you know, bear with me. This is a good trivia question. At least I like it. Anyway, what did Jesus do with the temple traders, the people that were trading, not the traders as in Benedict Arnold, although maybe. What did Jesus do with the temple traders in the beginning of the Gospel of John? Did he approve of them? Did he participate with them? Or did he clean house and kick them out? That's the question. Jesus the pacifist. is he a pacifist? Nope, not according to this passage. What did Jesus do with the temple traitors? Did he approve of them? Did he participate with them? Or did he clear? It's cleanse the house is what it should be, but clear the house. Okay? I mean, either way, that's fine. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. What did Jesus do with the temple traders? We do have somebody on the line. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is JD.
Hey, JD. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Are you ready for this one? I'll set it up for you, and you can hit it out of the park. Here we go. What did Jesus do with the temple traitors? Did he approve of them, participate with them, or clear the house?
Jesus was not a happy camper. He cleared that house.
That is correct, Emmanuel! And I always think about this. I think, and you just have to forgive me because it's this humorous thing, but I think people think of Jesus like, you know, everything was like, you know, peace, love, rock and roll, going around. He's a hippie. He's got a peace sign, flowers and everything. The Bible says he flipped the tables. It's important for people to understand they didn't have plastic tables back then. Okay. See, there was no plastic table like you would play like on cards. It was a table, and it was like, it was at least wood, if not some form of stone. And it was like, he was flipping those, and he took a whip and was like, bam, 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 get out, keep my father's house clean. Wow. Excellent.
And it says when he comes back, he's going to be like a lion. He's not going to be nice and peaceful.
Exactly. See, that's so great. You see, he's called the Lamb, even in Revelation. He's called one thing, and then they show another. So they say the Lion of the tribe of Judah, then the Lamb shows up. Or they say the Lamb, then the Lion shows up. And you're right, when he comes back, it's going to be something else. For us, it's going to be glorious. And that, of course, is the moment you turn to the person while you're being caught up in the air and you go, told ya! But that still is a great moment that we're going to have with the Lord. I can't wait.
Amen.
Excellent job,
Amen.
Brother. Excellent, excellent work. I appreciate
it. Thank you, sir.
All right. God bless you. Bye-bye. All right. Excellent job. All right. Now, I got to get to it. See? I didn't even get to the Oh, I love this stuff. All right. Let me do this. James chapter, where are we? We're actually at the end of chapter one, so I'm just going to do this one little thing. It's actually really quite cool, so let me do it. Just bear with me, you know, kind of put up with me for a couple seconds. In James chapter 1, verse 27, it says, pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this, to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted from the world. Okay, so this is an interesting definition. So the world, and listen to what I'm going to say to you, we're supposed to keep unpolluted. We're supposed to be not polluted by the world. The world defines religion as beliefs, now listen, that are guided by tradition, rules, and culture. Listen to what I'm saying. The world defines religion as beliefs that are guided by tradition, rules, and culture. This is why they don't understand that Christianity is not a religion. It's a living relationship with a living God made possible through the redeeming work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. This is why the world doesn't get it. So the Bible defines religion differently than the world, as though that should surprise us. The Bible defines religion as not being a hypocrite and doing more than giving lip service. It means having a heart that bleeds for those that are less fortunate. It means caring, and I mean actually caring, about orphans and widows and keeping oneself away from being polluted, contaminated, or soiled by the world. So not all uses of the word religion are bad, but then consequently, not all uses of the word of religion are good. What we need is the biblical definitions, the biblical truths. And from the Bible point of view, real, true religion has nothing to do with the religion, has nothing to do with traditions of the past and rules made by man and culture. It has to do with this genuine caring for people because, wait, you know, in a living relationship with God, He cares for you. It also has to do with, and I find it amazing that nobody talks about this, it also has to do with keeping oneself away from being polluted by the world. And what happens is God's not taking you out yet of the world. Have you noticed that after you said yes, you're still here? I'm just, you know, pointing that. And going back to what Sergio said, it would be kind of nice during the middle of the show to hear, duh, duh, duh. I mean, wouldn't that not be fantastic? It'd be awesome. But until that takes place, we are supposed to keep away from being contaminated from the world. Well, think of all the ways that the world contaminates. Just stop all the, you know, brilliancy. Stop the, you know, we're going to do these many steps or this, whatever. Listen. How does the world contaminate you? Well, it doesn't contaminate you if you're just simply walking out to a mountain or you're walking through a field or even if you're walking into a place of commerce. It's not quite a bit of contamination. But the largest part of contamination from the world comes from their
communications when their sources and resources are not divine. Oh, that's so good. I'm telling you that's good because I'm listening to it to myself going, oh boy, I need to remember that. In other words, the way the world communicates using its own sources and resources apart from God, that's how you and I get polluted. And we've just got to be careful about that intake. Just right back to Sergio's question. You got to be careful about that intake, that diet of worldly communication that comes into your system. You got to be careful. Because it will crush you. It will pollute you. It will stain you. Will it eternally separate you from your relationship with the Lord? No, nothing will separate you from the love of God that's in Christ. Nothing. But you know what it'll do? It'll wound you. It'll trip you. Not that I want to admit this, but I was coming into the studio today, and my bag is kind of heavy. It's a heavy bag because I got a lot of stuff in there, right? So I'm going up, and you know what I did? The second to last step, because there's those seven steps or six steps, I smacked my foot into the step, and so I tripped. And you know when you trip, then you're trying to keep your balance, whatever. And then you know what happened? I hurt my toes because I don't actually have like steel-reinforced boots or anything. I have like gym shoes, right? That's how it is when you stumble in the world. It's like, one, you almost losing your balance, almost falling on your face, right? And two, it hurts.
Yeah, I have stairs too. And when you miss a step or when you start to stumble, you're thinking, this is where it ends.
Yeah, just thinking.
There I go.
Face plant. Here comes a face plant. Anyway, that's what the world does when it pollutes you. That stumble right there. All right. Now, if you're in San Diego, hang out with us. Go to HeMustIncrease.org. Click on the Listen Live button and stay with us. That's fun. If you're in Dallas, hang out with us. All you got to do is hang out. Don't go anywhere. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770 and KBright 1240. Don't go anywhere.
I was driving down I-30 yesterday. And it was stop and go traffic. There's, I guess, an accident up ahead. So I was putting along at 20 miles an hour, 15 miles an hour, and this little sports car would speed up and get right beside me, and then he'd fall back. You know, just kind of we're shuffling back and forth. He'd go and I'd go and he'd go and I'd go. And I just was watching out of the corner of my eye and just kind of mindlessly driving at 20 miles an hour. And then all of a sudden, I hear this little beep, 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 beep. And I said, uh-oh, what did I do? And I looked out of the corner of my eye, and he drove right up next to me. He had his windows rolled down, and he gave me a big old thumbs up. And I said, what's he giving me a thumbs up for? I was kind of expecting, when you have somebody honking at you, you're expecting something else, you know? And then I realized I have that bumper sticker on God created the universe. He can write a book, and then he just sped off. He slowly drove off at 20 miles an hour. But I just thought that was neat. That's the first time that anybody's really gives a thumbs up for a bumper sticker. Usually, people that have bumper stickers, it's to hold their bumper on their car. But
I just wanted
to share that story.
That is an awesome story. First of all, it's really good that he gave you a thumbs up and didn't use any other finger. So let's just say that's for sure. And then the other part about that is that that's cool because whether he's listening to the show or not, he agrees with you, knows that that's true. Hey, look, God created the universe. The dude can write a book. Let's just get that. Well, let's get that squared away, you know?
Yes. And you know what? He might be listening to the story, to the radio now.
That's exactly right. What a blessing. That's cool. And we do have those bumper stickers. So we only have so many, but we're going to do an ambassador program, and that'll give people an opportunity to put the bumper sticker on their car if they want to. And nobody wants you to do anything to your car you don't want to. But I really, really appreciate you sharing that story. And that is a great story. And see, every time we're in traffic, we think something bad's going to happen. Instead, hey, there was something good that happened. Somebody standing with you in the faith, perhaps a fellow listener saying, right on. Just right, that's the right target. I bet that blessed you at the moment, didn't it?
It sure did.
Yeah.
It sure did.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a great story. And I love that. Oh, good job. Good job in being an ambassador just by sharing that bumper sticker and just by proclaiming the truth. Some people will read that and they might go, oh, I don't know, but it sure challenges a lot of people, doesn't it? It's like, oh, you got to think that through, don't you?
The David Spoon Experience.